Surprise! It's me! Well, I have some stories, no surprise there. If you are surprised to see me up here, me too. Pastor Mike, of course, is acting up as usual, and he's landed himself in the hospital yet again. He's going to be fine, which is why I'm here, and he's there. Because the last time he acted up, I had to be there. So he's going to recover, and so you get me. And first, I just have to say it is a huge honor and privilege to be up here. I'm really excited to share with you guys what God's been really just dealing with. He's been dealing with a lot because he's been dealing with me. So, you know, that's always a hot mess. Yes, I agree. In case you don't know who I am, if you're new here this morning, welcome. My name is April, and I am the worship pastor here at Essential Church. Thank you again for the one woo over there. Appreciate you. I paid that guy. With that being said, obviously there is no surprise as to what God has called me to do. When I stepped foot in church, I was about 15 years old, and I had absolutely no idea what church was about, what worship leading was. I remember there was this lady with this giant red microphone, and I was like, I want to do that. Yeah. I had no idea what that entailed, and that has been an incredibly long, funny, hilarious, scary journey to what you see today. But music for me and for my family, it's always been an escape. It's always been my comfort zone. It's always been just my thing. And I have to admit, I love 80s music. I love 90s R&B. I hate country. I know I'm going to get booed. I got booed a lot in the last service. That's okay. I'm pretty tough. I think I can hang. And it's funny because a lot of people go, oh, you're a worship leader. You shouldn't like that kind of music. Well, tough, I do. Sorry. That's just what I'm doing. But I will tell you guys straight up, I live to worship. It's the one thing that I was meant to do. It's what God's called each and every one of us to do. It's the only job that is going to actually go from here to heaven. That's the only job that there's going to be in heaven is going to be to worship. So if you hate it, you better get used to it. I'm just going to throw that out there. You know, and somebody, it was a short time ago, you know, they asked, you know, like, April, what's your favorite worship song? And if you've been coming to this church for more than 5 seconds, most of you guys know it's the song Defender. It's been my life song. It's been the song that I've clung to in really terrible times, in good times, you know, in all the times, really. I remember when I first heard it. I remember when we first sang it. It was for a night of worship. And I'm going to use this as an amazing segue to say, if you want to come to the next night of worship, it's July 14th at 7 p.m. It is an amazing time of just loving on Jesus. So I expect all y'all to be there. Yeah? Okay, two people. Got it. Great. Well, that'll be sad, but I'll be there. We sang this particular song in October of 2019. Right before COVID changed our entire way of living. It was right before the holidays, which always gives me terrible anxiety. And I'm sure that's a CR message waiting to be written. It was right before my husband, Jonathan, was going on a long work trip. He works for the government on top of doing what he does on Sunday morning. And in case you didn't know, because I don't know why there's this confusion of Jonathan and Pastor Alex. They are two very different people. I'm married to the brown beard that's standing here this morning. So that's my man. I've had to say that numerous times. Nope, I'm not taking him. Nope, no. You know, and more importantly, in that time frame, October 2019, was right after a time in my life where I had really lost myself. You know, I've always known who I am. I am very self-assured. I don't, you know, I don't question like who God's made me to be. I know who God's made me to be. You know, but it was more about my personal life. It was more about this uncertainty of what was happening in my personal life. Professionally here at the church, I knew what I was doing. I knew what God was asking of me. And it absolutely wasn't a crisis of faith. You know, I knew that I loved God, and I knew that he loved me. There was no question. But I was really uncertain about, you know, the future. Jonathan and I, at that point, had had 4 miscarriages out of 5. And it had been truly a 6-year struggle at that point. And I was heartbroken, so lost, and I really, really wanted to move on, but we just didn't know how. And just like the song says, I wanted God to pick up all my pieces. I wanted him to put me back together. I wanted him desperately, desperately to be the defender of my heart. And I personally just didn't know how to let him do that. This struggle has led me on a 10-year journey to figure out how to let God defend me, how to let him heal my heart, and to give me a hope and a future that only he could write. And I'm going to be real honest this morning. Y'all ready for some honesty? Okay, good. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for his love. I would have given up. I would have walked away. It would have been way easier. His word promises, though, that he will never leave me, that he will never forsake me. And as many times as I led worship on this stage, I've said it quite often. And a lot of times the reason that I say that very scripture is because I'm preaching to myself. Truly, it has nothing to do with you guys. I'm reminding myself day in and day out, God, you're not going to leave me, no matter what. And the great news about that is that that's your promise too. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going on in your life, no matter what's going on in your personal life, your professional life, he loves you and he's for you. And that's why I love the Word of God, because it's full of stories of people just like you and just like me, and God's defending his people time and time and time again. And if you look in the Old Testament, a lot of times it talks about the Israelites being his people, right? Well, here's the good news about that phrase, his people. You're included in the his people because of what Jesus Christ did on that cross. So we are all his people. Can I get an amen? All right. Y'all with me? Good. As a worshiper, we think of David, right? He wrote the Psalms, and that's where a lot of songs and a lot of lyrics come from. They originate out of the Psalms. And so naturally, we as worshipers, we look to the life of David. We look at his motives. We look at his actions, what he's done, his life, for inspiration and for hope. Because let's be real, right? He was a flawed guy. We all know about his scandal. We all know that there was a lady he looked at, he was digging on her, and then, bam, kills her husband. I mean, I've met some of y'all in these streets now. It's getting a little scary up in here. But the cool thing is that God still loved him, and he still used him, right? Which means God loves you, and he's still going to use you. That's the hope that we have in Jesus. But I don't want to focus on that, because that gets messy, and that's a whole like marriage series, and I'm not going to do none of that. But I want to focus, though. I want to focus on the earlier days of David. I want to focus on a time where God was absolutely David's defender. And as we kind of unpack that story, what I want to do is I want you guys to begin to think about these couple of questions. Number one, is God your defender? And number two, do you have godly people in your life that are helping you on this journey? The book of 1 Samuel talks about the beginning of days of David, how God chose him to be the king, him fighting the giant, having favor from the current king, King Saul. And the part that I love is that David chooses. He chooses to honor Saul. He chooses to honor and serve under him. He didn't have to because he knew he was going to be king, right? But he submitted to that leadership. So I'm going to ask you a funny question. How many of you guys have gotten a call from maybe like the gossipy person in your life that says, ooh, I found out something about you? Nobody? Oh, y'all better than me? Oh, okay. Have you gotten a call that said, I heard Sally doesn't like you? What's your first response? Do you say, I'm going to pray for her? If you say that, for real, come find me on the patio out here because we need to talk because I need to hang out with you. No, we get hot. We talk smack, which is my favorite thing to do. And my other favorite thing is coming up with all the comebacks. Like, well, I should have told her last week her shoes were stupid. And then 2 weeks after the incident, you're still thinking about it in the shower and you're like, man, I could have got her with this one. Uh-huh. No, I know I do it. I'm just being honest. But here's the hilarious part about all that. David doesn't do that, which I think is weird. It is weird. 1 Samuel 18:5 says, so David went out wherever Saul sent him and behaved wisely. And Saul sent him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. He behaved wisely. How many of us are behaving wisely these days? I don't know. And it's also because he was acting accordingly. The people around him accepted him, right? And I'm sure that that's a whole nother sermon. We're just going to let that sit there. So David's doing David stuff, which includes fighting folks for Saul. You know, he's winning. He's killing it. And so what's Saul doing? Saul's being sneaky, and he devises this plan to get David to marry his daughter. So he thinks, he's like, all right, I'm gonna trick him into marrying her. Like, we all knew that they was looking at each other, peeking, you know, doing their thing. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to send him to do this task. He's going to have to kill a bunch of guys. They'll kill him before he gets back so he doesn't have to marry her. Wrong-o! David kills more people than he was supposed to because he was feeling this girl. And so he gets to marry her. He was like, yeah, this is great. Well, at that point, Saul's like, I'm out. I am done with this guy. I'm going to take him out. Thankfully, David has a friend in Jonathan. Jonathan is Saul's son. And Jonathan is Team David. You know, and he knows, like, if he sides with his dad, he's going to be the next king, right? Like, because that's the way it usually works. But he also sees his dad acting real crazy. And he's like, yeah, I can't support this. I can't I can't do the wrong thing. David is God's anointed, and I'm following after God. And if I'm following after God, I want to follow after who God wants. And that's what he does. So Jonathan tells David, hey, you need to get out of here. You need to run off. And David does it. And Jonathan basically becomes a spy for David, and he keeps him posted on everything his dad's doing because he loves David so much. 1 Samuel 23, 15 through 17 says, while David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life. And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. Don't be afraid, he said. My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this. The two of them made a covenant before the Lord. Then Jonathan went home, but David remained there. So not only did David show up because he understood what was happening, he validated David's struggles. He's like, I get it. I understand. But the most important thing was he led him right back to God. Let's keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Let's remember what God has promised. And that's what he came there to remind David of. Have you guys ever had a really great best friend? And I don't mean the kind of best friend that you get into shenanigans with and you end up somewhere you're not supposed to and you have a lot of fun and then you have a lot of regrets the next day. I'm not talking about that kind of friend. I'm talking about one of those friends where they're constantly calling you out on your stuff, but not in a judgmental way, but in a way that's like, hey, I don't feel convicted, but like, huh, I didn't pray today. Probably should. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. I don't know about you guys, because maybe you like having terrible friends, but I like having good friends. And those are the kind of people that I constantly need in my life because I know me. And me can be terrible. I constantly will think negative. I constantly will second guess myself. I constantly will look at myself and think I'm not good enough. But I have amazing friends that constantly say, you're being ridiculous. Let's move on. Okay. And I do. I wouldn't be anywhere without that. So at this point, David is moving about. He's trying to stay out of the clutches of Saul, but literally, he ends up as in the same cave as Saul. And I have on my paper, it says, coincidence, question mark. And the reason I do that is because, so we have this joke on staff. Pastor Steve likes to say, when I was in Israel, because he likes to rub it in the fact that he got to go to Israel and nobody on the staff did. And so anytime he preaches, he goes, well, when I was in Israel, and we're like, boo. Well, anyways, but when he was in Israel, he says, hey, did you know that there are like hundreds and hundreds of caves? And the mere fact that they were in the same cave is not a coincidence, because there would have been no way that was like humanly possible. But God orchestrated that moment. It says in 1 Samuel 24, verses 4 through 7, the men said, now these are the men that are with David in the cave. They said, this is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, I will give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish. Then David crept up, unnoticed, and cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Afterward, David was conscience stricken for having cut off a corner of his robe. He said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lay my hand on him, for he is the anointed of the Lord. With these words, David sharply rebuked his men, and did not allow them to attack Saul. And Saul left the cave and went his way. First step in letting God be your defender is don't listen to the crowd. And the second little comma there is going to be, especially when God told you something, right? He told him very specifically, don't hurt him. Yet he had all these buffoons telling him, nah, just go do it. Just do it. Are you listening to the crowd? Are you listening to God-appointed people in your life? Are you listening to people who truly have your best interest at heart? Or are you listening to people who have ulterior motives? What do they stand to gain from your fall? Because not everybody in this world is for you, am I right? Yeah. And then I'm going to push a little bit further. What are our motives? Is it to be Christ-like or me-like? And I've met me, and I can be terrible. Being real, I don't think the best of people at all times. I, safe to say, want to tell you you're number one when you cut me off in traffic. I'm being real. Do I do it? I'll never tell. This next thought has always had me convicted. When we're dealing with our rage or our anger or our hurt, what are the consequences of that? What if somebody had walked in here this morning and they were trying and all they needed was a kind word and I didn't offer it? What if, and this is, I know for a fact, has happened here at Essential. What if one person walked in here thinking, if one person says hello to me today, I'll believe there's a God. I don't want that on my conscience. I don't want to be the reason that someone doesn't get to have a relationship with Jesus because of my stuff. I got to work on me, right? Second step in letting God be your defender. Stand your ground. 1 Samuel 24:10 says, and this is David talking to Saul after he finds him in the cave. He says, this day you have seen with your own eyes how the Lord delivered you into my hands in this cave. Some urged me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, I will not lay my hand on my Lord because he is the Lord's anointed. I mean, he confronts it head on, right? He calls him out and he's like, hey, I know you want to do this. I know you want to kill me. And I've had every chance to get you back. But I'm not going to because I'm trusting God. His plan for my life is a lot bigger than the plans that you think that you have. And if we jump down to verse 13, because they're talking, and he says, as the proverb of the ancients says, wickedness proceeds from the wicked, but my hand shall not be against you. And then he quotes scripture at him. Again, bringing it all back to his relationship with God, because he'd been spending time with God. Him and God were so close. The thing that kills me the most about that is that David's literally saying all this. They're having a, you know, I picture them pretty close, you know, like, what you gonna do? But you know, because everybody gets hostile and then you start creeping in closer. Y'all seen those? That's how all the fights in the Waffle House start. It's true. I seen them. So I picture that kind of scenario, and Saul literally could have just shanked them, like, bah, gotcha. And David took that chance, right? Like, he calls him out, and he's like, yeah, I mean, I could have hurt you, and you could probably still hurt me right now, but I'm not going to do it. And Saul, you know, he kind of backs down. Psalm 62, 5 through 7, and this is David talking. He says, I depend on God alone. I put my hope in him. He alone protects me, and he saves me, and he is my defender, and I shall never be defeated. My salvation and honor depend on God. He is my strong protector. He is my shelter. Sometimes God asks us to face the obstacles head on. And then sometimes he wants us to wait and be still. Exodus 14:14 says, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. I'm here to tell you today that I have been still and I have waited. And it's been a long 10 years. And I have faced the fact that God's plan for my life does not include me having children. And guess what? I can stand here this morning and tell you that is a victory. Not because of not having kids. And I am celebrating that because I've met your little people. And they're real rowdy. They get sick in the middle of the night. They want to sleep in your bed and then kick you in the head. I don't want that in my life. But I can hold my head up high knowing that God still has a plan and a purpose for me. It's not over. It is just the beginning. Y'all better look out. Because God has called me to do great things. I'm not sad when I go to a child dedication. I'm happy for y'all. I'm not sad when you invite me to a baby shower. I'm just not going to go because they're terrible. Y'all play weird games, it's not fun, and usually you're not providing enough sustenance for girls that like to eat. Keep that there. Y'all think I'm telling fibs. I've been to y'all's house. Cucumber sandwich, that ain't food. But over and above that, I can tell you that God's not done writing my story, and he is certainly not done writing your story. I don't know what brought you in this building this morning, but God surely does. His promise for you and for me is yes and amen. Yes, April, I love you. Amen. Insert your name there. We won't know the direction that God has for us until we learn to hear his voice. And the only way to truly hear his voice is to spend time with him. You spend a time with God. And I don't just mean like, well, I have my devotional in the morning and then I have my quiet time. No, are you telling God you're mad at him? Are you having hard conversations with God? Because guess what? He can handle it. He's a big God. He created everything in this universe. He can understand if you're mad at him. It's not against his word to say, God, I don't like this. But what I don't want to do is sit in it and fester in it. I don't want to get to heaven and say, God, your plan sucks. I want to say, thanks, God, for letting me in the gates. Because sometimes it's real sketchy. I don't know about you. But my favorite way to spend time with God is simply just to worship him, just to love on him. And as we close out our time together this morning, I am going to ask my best friend, this is my Jonathan. Yep, still him. To come and lead a song with you. This man has carried me through the darkest days of my life, the happiest days of my life, and everything in between. He has been my rock. He has brought me to Jesus. Last night, I'll be real honest, I have fibromyalgia, and so sometimes I get a really bad flare-up, and usually it's when I'm going to do something really awesome for God because the enemy liked to strike me down and said, I can only get you this way, and I'm hurting real bad. You know what he did? He sat there and he just prayed for me. He said, and he laughs when he prays sometimes. And I love it because it's the joy of the Lord, right? And he said, tomorrow's going to be so fun. And it's been fun. I couldn't get through life without having a Jonathan in my life. I just couldn't. I don't want to. Who's your Jonathan? Who's your person? And if you're married, I hope it's your spouse. I do. And if it isn't, you better figure that out real quick. Because life's too short. If it's a really good friend, send them a text. Call them. Hey, thanks for going through hell and back with me. Thanks for going through the fire with me. I couldn't have done it without you. Be honest, I don't want to. Friendship is messy. It hurts. It's not convenient at all. But the Bible says that God is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And those are the friends I want in my life. I'm going to ask you to stand up this morning. And we're going to sing Defender as a church family. Because I can't imagine any better way of thanking God than singing to him. To being in his presence. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. There's healing. There's hope. There's restoration. And only in his presence. And I've been in some presence, y'all. Nothing compares. Nothing. If you feel comfortable, lift your hands, close your eyes. But ultimately, lift your voice. And thank him for all that he's brought you through. You go before I know that you've even gone to win. Back with the head of my enemy. You come back and you call it my victory. Oh. You go before, I know that you've even gone to win my war. Your becomes my greatest defense. It leads me from the dry wilderness. All I did was faith. All I did was worship.
did was stay still.
Father God, we love you, we honor you, that you are the defender of our hearts, no matter what we've done. Thank you, Jesus, for your love, your grace, and your mercy. Amen. I don't know what you're currently facing this morning, but God surely does. He's with you, he's not against you. He shed his blood, and he broke his body, so that you and me could have a loving relationship with Jesus that lasts for all eternity. And communion is simply a reflection of that. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I've gone over on time. So go through communion fast. I can't wait to tell Pastor Steve. So will you come?